Hello guys, today I'm looking at Doom Eternal. This game is great. I love it. It's really, really fun. It's really, really good. And it's so interesting to see how Doom has changed and adapted and kind of, you know, evolved. Doom Eternal opens up, you know, hitting hard and fast, you know, suddenly Earth is under attack. So similar to, you know, the second Doom, now in the series, this one takes place on Earth, and actually the environments are a lot different as well. What really got me interested in this game was the amount of mobility and movement that was happening on screen. The fact you swing from monkey bars and you have this dash ability through the air, I thought that was really cool. What I loved about the original Doom, of course, and mostly Doom 2, is that, you know, the movement is so fast and so fast paced, and trying to recreate that on modern consoles is, I mean, I respect it, but I'm so glad they're even, you know, trying to do that. It's not just another shooter that is, you know, I don't know, whatever, taking itself too seriously. Doom itself is able to kind of, you know, it has a lot of callbacks to previous Doom titles. It's kind of developing this kind of, I don't know what to call it, this style of game where, you know, it's part of a universe. You know, the fact it has homages to previous Doom titles, it has little, you know, Easter eggs and things like this. It really feels like a real proper series now. And, you know, compared to the original Doom 2016, it's really funny how some people, you know, these games are so similar in a lot of ways, but people like to focus on the small differences. And really, it's the small differences that really make the big picture for a lot of these games. And so I'll talk about that in a little bit. I think on the whole, I'm actually more preferential to Doom 2016 than this one, simply because the actual tone of the game was such that it was more serious and more believable. Like, you're on Mars, you're on, you know, this alien installation, you have the demon world and Mars as a facility, and you're kind of experiencing all of that, you know, together. While Doom, you know, Eternal, it's more focused on, I would say, obviously you're on Earth, and it's more focused on more, I guess, fantastical kind of elements. Like, I felt, I think the whole atmosphere and aesthetic of Doom 2016 is really my favorite because, I don't know, it just feels really appropriate. It feels more Doom than this game does. This game feels like a game that's trying to be Doom, or is like a Doom clone in an aesthetic and story sense. While, you know, there's no Mars, there's no real demon area. There's a different area though, so I mean, we still get that. But now what they've done is they've changed the lore of the Doom Slayer, or they've made it slightly different, where they, I'm really conflicted about this, and they kind of did this in the first game as well, where basically Doom Guy is not just another Marine, essentially. He's actually like an ancient race of like crypto warriors or something. And they've been fighting these demons for like centuries and millennia. And, you know, he was just in cryostasis and sleeping. And now they really lean into that a lot, where, you know, they have this ancient civilization and this a planet that essentially you go to where these warriors are from. And so you basically begin to explore this kind of new lore. There is a lot of cool things now. You know, you have my favorite thing is the sword, and in the DLC, the hammer. Super cool, super fun. I'm so glad Doom Guy finally has a melee weapon besides the chainsaw. I mean, the chainsaw is iconic, but this weapon is ultra iconic. I mean, it has like a I don't know what you call it, a flanged edge at the tip, so it's actually larger. I saw a video where someone said that actually has a tactical advantage, that actually makes sense. But yeah, no, it's so cool that we have a really iconic version of Doom Guy in this game. They lean into the a little bit too hard into the whole, you know, the prophesized warrior and all that stuff, when really, you know, I'd be fine with Doom Guy was just a Marine, but I do appreciate that kind of stuff where they try to make it this big lore explanation. In any case, though, let's talk about the actual gameplay. So yes, you start on Earth, and now you're taking on these three Archons, or whatever they're called, and so they're the three leaders, and you have to go and find them and kill them, kind of like Halo 2 now that I think about it. And they are invading Earth. So, what I think is a really good thing is they got rid of the pistol from the original, the other Doom. It was so useless, and it's like, it's good that they did it. Honestly, no one really needed it or used it or did anything with it, so I think that's smart of them to do there. One thing I really don't agree with that I was very upset about, to be honest, is what they did to the plasma rifle. They went back to its classic design, and like, I would just never forgive them for that, because the plasma rifle design in Doom 2016 is just peak. It looks futuristic, it looks sci-fi, it looks proper, like what it should look like. And they go back to like the accordion pump, you know, design that they had in the classic games, which I was never really a fan of. Like, it's fine, but it doesn't look like it fits into the new Doom universe. So, you know, glory kills are back. Most of the basic weapons are back. But now they have an added thing where now you can swap out their secondary fire. And so, you know, for the shotgun, it can go from an auto shotgun to a grenade launcher. You have, you know, the double barrel shotgun now, and that has a little chain which you can latch onto enemies and fly through the sky. And like I said previously, there's a lot higher emphasis on mobility in this game and kind of flying through the sky. You know, you now have a dash button which lets you, you know, go towards enemies. That has a cooldown rate as you upgrade it. You also have lots of collectibles in the levels, and so there's like little Doom Guy things. It's funny that some of the enemies in this game have also gone through a little change. Now you now have the Marines, essentially, who are you know, more similar again to like you know, Doom 2's character design. One thing I found that was funny is that the description for the what do you call it? The invisible pinky is actually a different lore description. In the original, it was something that was designed and created by essentially the human government testing on the demons. While on this one, they say it was a biological evolution. So it's really interesting that I actually found a piece of conflicting lore between these two games. Again, this game is a bit more like flowy, I guess you could say, which is, you know, more or less a good thing. But I feel like it just loses the tone where everything was kind of dark and horrific and evil, while this game is kind of a little bit silly. It's a little bit in that quirky zone where it's like, oh my gosh, heckin' aliens and stuff. And so, you know, it feels more, it's weird to say a video gamey. I mean, that is how it feels. But I think another word I might use is that it feels arcadey. And that's, I think that gets to the heart of why some people don't like this one as much as the other one, where it was actually telling more kind of like a story, and it actually had a, you know, distinct aesthetic and everything. Well, this one feels, you know, just for the sake of the game itself. Doom Guy also has lost his sleeves in this game, and he now has a retractable blade he uses in his sleeve to kill enemies. So there's a bit, I mean, it's only like a few years apart from the last Doom game, but it's gone through a lot of character design, a lot of thought has gone into just redesigning a lot of the characters, especially the basic zombies. Also, they've completely changed how some of the power weapons work. So in the previous game, you would press the Y button to use essentially the BFG, while now the BFG is its own weapon in the weapon wheel. And you have other things too, where the chainsaw is now mapped to it's still mapped as a key item, because now what you do is, of course, you need to chainsaw enemies in order to get ammo. And you know, some people do complain about that. There's one particular area I'm thinking in like the second or third level where you're taking on a lot of enemies, and of course the thing is, you now have a fuel cost on your chainsaw, so you need a certain amount of fuel to actually take out certain enemies, which makes sense, of course, if you know, one fuel to take down the small guys and, you know, three to take out the big guys. And there's one section where there are no little guys, and you kind of are low on on the fuel resource. And there's just nowhere to get more of it, and you're just stuck with almost no ammo and these spider bots, basically. And it's very frustrating, and I just see it from a basic game design perspective, that area is not built correctly for that function. And so from there on, you kind of learn, okay, definitely use your chainsaw, especially when you're low on ammo. There's also new strategies now. I think the overall game can be summarized like this. What the real core argument is of the game is that it changed how its core gameplay kind of worked, or the main overall philosophy of the game. In Doom 2016, more like classic Doom, it was built around the idea that you would go into an area or environment and just kill as many enemies in whatever way possible you wanted. However, from the developer themselves, they said with Doom Eternal, they wanted to make it look like fast-paced chess. So now every enemy has a particular design or weakness flaw, and it's like, yeah, you can fight it the normal way, but the developers have made a very clear nudge towards how the game should be played. And part of that is also encouraging things like hot swapping between items, which is a kind of ridiculous looking method of gaming where you're constantly swapping weapons and items and your sub weapons. So some of the sub weapons you have in this game is your shoulder launcher that'll shoot a freeze grenade. Then if you also light them on fire and you hurt them, then they will drop armor packets. And so the combo is you drop the grenade, light them on fire, and then when they all explode, essentially you get a total array of health and other armor so that you are intact. So for example, in terms of distinct strategies, so for the Kakko Demon in this game, you basically have this effect where if you lob a grenade or you use the grenade launcher from the default shotgun and lob it at it in its mouth, it will go automatically into a glory kill state. And so there are some people who kind of want to argue, no, you don't have to do that. That's just what, the developers recommend. But like 9 out of 10 times, that's what happens. And so the whole philosophy of Doom Eternal, it's very subtle, but the way it's transformed is such that, there's certain strategies you just end up using because they're way more effective on the enemy. And so you no longer feel kind of in control. You kind of feel... I mean, you feel in control, but you feel railroaded, essentially, a little bit into some of these strategies because they're just way more efficient. Some guy was saying, oh, no, instead of, lobbing the grenade, it's actually, half a second faster if you shoot a bunch of rockets and then quick swap to the Gauss cannon or I forget what it's called in this one, but the Demon Energy Launcher and fire beamed right at it. So... like, unless you do that one combo, then it's kind of impractical. And so the skill gap to actually get to that point where you're constantly hot swapping, I say it was like medium to high. So, it's kind of this weird effect where the game feels more arcadey, more kind of less serious, and more, again, kind of railroaded. It's a different kind of game, and it's slightly, different. It by no means is bad, mind you, but it is just not what I think people are finding big differences in, well, the small differences. So, I mean, even in this scenario, sometimes, you'll run out of ammo and you'll have to go find another enemy or like ammo around, the environment. And again, that's not bad or anything, and it's not challenging, but it's just frustrating. And of course, the argument that comes out is like, well, you're just not good at the game. It's like, well, it's not just that someone might not be good at the game, but it's more so that this is forcing the player to play in a very specific pattern that they otherwise actually wouldn't do. And, you could call it good strategy or you could call it forced strategy. Obviously in games like Fire Emblem, sword, axe, spear is kind of the holy trinity. And of course, you'd be foolish to do it any other way. But then you also have your power units. And I don't know. So I don't know. I think that argument kind of fulfills itself and I won't bother going more into it. But yeah, this game is, I don't know, I love it. It's really great. Again, they changed enough things about the formula to make it more fun. So I'd say this is more action-packed. Or as action-packed, but a little bit more so than the last one. But it does kind of lack the aesthetic and the story. The rest of the game is kind of whatever. There are some cool moments, Doomguy tends to interact with humans a lot more. In this one, there's some comical areas where you end up, coming into Marine Stronghold. I find it's interesting that Doomguy's characterization is that even the Marines that are on his side are scared of him. In comparison to a game like Halo, where the characters essentially all look up to Master Chief, they're scared of this guy, which is very interesting. And so, yeah, you basically go to the homeworld where Doomguy is from, and you kind of get the lore on his character a little bit. They kind of go into this whole thing about this Order of Knights. The one thing I do love about this game is you are in Doomguy's giant citadel ship, and it is just the coolest little hub world. And it's funny because it transforms throughout the course of the game. When you start off, it's all blue, I believe. And then when you kind of upgrade it and give this big, you know, upgrade, it turns into this giant red thing and this whole red aesthetic. And you can see the Earth is on fire from your observation deck. And the whole spaceship itself is like this gothic castle. It's so cool. Like, just being around inside that thing, it's like it brings me back to, like, you know, when you were a kid and you had, like, action figures and you had, oh, this is the bad guy's base or the good guy's base up in space, and, like, it has all this cool stuff in it. And I love it. I think it's actually really cool. There's a lot of things in this game that are just, you know, a hashtag epic. There's no other way I can describe it. It's just funny to me. One thing I definitely changed in the original Doom game was that I really hated it was RT to, or rather the clicking in the right stick to melee. So I swapped that to B, which was much better, and you know just felt better to do. So yeah, I just had to press B on all these executions, and that's something I brought into this game as well. Again, the movement in this game feels really good. It's really fast-paced. It's, you know, there's a bunch of really cool sub-items you can get for your guns. What I really like is the equivalent of the Gauss cannon in this game is a much more, it's a much different kind of weapon, and it has two modes. It's it's called the ballista, and it's basically powered by demon energy, but it's mostly the same thing. But it's sub-attacks or things like, it'll create a giant, you know, wave of energy that'll just cut through enemies, or it'll be something like a kind of piercing shot and explosion. And throughout the game, you go to different kind of settings, locations, you go back to the demon world a little bit, and Earth, and of course Earth is where the final battle is going to be, as with all of these types of games. My favorite perk in this game that I can pick up is that after every glory kill, you get a speed boost, which just feels so natural to the rest of the game. It feels like, yeah, the more kind of special moves pull off, the game rewards you for it, and I think that's how it should be. I absolutely love the double barrel shotgun in this game. It is absolutely a blast, pardon the pun, to use. It has, like I said, this fire chain, which basically will lock onto an enemy. So a Caco Demon is a perfect example. You can impale onto it and basically swing around it. And then that same mechanic, actually, for the double barrel shotgun and its cable, is used for a lot of platforming sections. So that is another big kind of difference between this one and the next game, or the last game, is that there's a lot more platforming in general in this game. There are different kind of facilities, snow levels, fire levels, where a lot of that platforming takes place. And of course, there's a lot more different glory kills depending on where you're looking at the enemy when you press the execution button. Doom Eternal also looks really good. I love the art style. I love the aesthetic. Even though it's not quite as dark as the other games, how it basically portrays Doomguy and the world around him, it has pretty good art direction, and the design of a lot of the new enemies is really cool and good. And so the lore that is new about this game, it's also funny. So Samuel Hayden is still alive in your ship, and he's in cryostasis, so he isn't completely destroyed and defeated, and he's kind of like your buddy almost now, along with Vega, who's your ship's AI. But what has occurred essentially is that, you know, the demons are invading. And you basically, near the end of the game, and there's a bunch of DLC that also, like, brings us forward. It's funny how the game kind of ends where, you know, you defeat the Icon of Sin from Doom 2, but in, you know, this version, it was similar to that. But then you can go even deeper into the lore where essentially this crazy thing where you have this new race introduced called the Makers with a Y. And their purpose was essentially they created humanity. And what happened is the god male version of that race of the creators or the makers left or something or was betrayed. And then you have this female version called the Con Maker. And so she essentially is in charge of everything. And what she's been doing is purposely, I forget what it was, purposely sending humans to hell to extract the torment of their souls. So the emotions of humans and their torment are actually the energy source that was powering hell to begin with. And so that's why everything is the way it is. And I'm probably not explaining it the best way. But the lore in this game is actually, I think, fairly decent. And at least tried to make something fairly interesting, honestly. Also in the DLC, you get, you know, a couple more levels which go into, you know, the different aspects of this ancient race and into Doomguy himself. And in fact, what they do in the DLC, I thought it was kind of funny, but also pretty cool, is they do a Doomguy doppelganger. And so, you know, he's like apparently, you know, the ultimate life form, the perfect specimen. And you know, you're the one who has to basically take on, you know, the hardest battle against yourself. Throughout the game, you'll also get these tokens which you'll collect, and they'll be hidden in the levels, and you can basically go back to your ship, and they can either open up certain doors or certain upgrades, and basically when you do this, you can basically, you know, upgrade the strength of your weapons or upgrade different speed boosts or skills and things like that. Again, the design of the ship is just so cool. It's just ridiculous. Also, it's funny that in the DLC, Doomguy himself, he does actually speak for the very first time, and he says one word. I won't spoil it, but the very end of the DLC is very much worth it. It's funny that my impression of the DLC is there was going to be this huge, giant final battle with like all the Doomguy knights and whatever, and like this huge like all-out thing, but that did not happen. I don't know why I had that impression. It was kind of teased in the trailers. But yeah, the Doomguy's ship, it has a combination of technology and like gothic architecture. And oh my god, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I absolutely adore it. It's one of the coolest environments I've ever been in. But yeah, I think that my main issue when I'm thinking about it is from the level structure perspective. Is that, you know, Doom 2016, it felt like every place you were going made sense. It felt like the worlds were all connected. It makes sense you were in a science facility one second, and then, you know, this other place, and then a portal into the demon world, and then back to Mars. Like, it all kind of just made sense. While in this game, you're just floating, you know, you're being thrown over here, over there. You know, here's the level, just go play it, and don't worry about thinking too much. And yeah, I don't know, I wasn't a super huge fan of that. Again, you know, along with all the power-ups that the enemies drop and, you know, all the bright colors and everything, it just feels like arcadey. And that's the only big takeaway that I think I didn't really enjoy about this game. It just feels kind of whatever. But the dashing is really fun. You know, the game itself is really fun. The one thing I didn't really like is I played, I think, like the battle mode version or something. And so they really tried to sell the multiplayer aspect of this game with a more kind of, I don't know what to call it. The battle mode is like a horde mode thing, but it has a super long tutorial. And like to get through the whole thing, it's very kind of onerous where you play as, you know, the demons and the humans, and with more emphasis on the humans rather than Doomguy. And it just felt like something that they put a lot of effort and like time to train people on and into. And at the end of the day, not a lot of people played it, or at least I've never seen anyone really talk about it. I thought actually the original Doom 2016 multiplayer was actually fairly decent, even compared to the battle mode on this game. It was super broken. You know, people would get, you know, the demon skins and then completely dominate the map. But at least it was fun, the basic combat. Also, what's really cool that I did at a certain point in the game is that you can also reduce a lot of your HUD. And I found that, like, the little icons in the HUD that tell you when your flame belch is ready, or your grenade is ready, or like how much ammo you have left, instead of just saying no ammo. I found by removing a lot of the UI, the game just looks a lot better, because through part of the game, you're just gonna have a bunch of stuff on there that you just don't need to see. And it actually looks more cinematic, just remove a lot of that kind of thing and turn it off. Which they let you do. So how is the platforming? It's fun, it's okay, but I never really went into the platform being like, oh wow, this is so awesome that I'm flying around, shooting guns through the air, you know, seeing the enemies, you know, get destroyed. It was always kind of, I don't know, it didn't feel very necessary a lot of the time, and it just kind of felt just checkmarked and placed there and derivative. Going back to the gameplay loop, one thing that I think a lot of people talk about in terms of the problems with Eternal is that essentially is the Marauder character. So the Marauder is introduced in this game as kind of a contemporary to Doomguy. You know, he has a blade, he has a sword, he obviously, you know, well, he has an axe rather, but he means business, and he has a shield. And so the whole concept behind this character essentially is that, you know, he's not to be trifled with, you know, he's basically your equal, and so you cannot really hurt him at all until basically you take out his shield. And so basically the way that you do that, you don't actually take out his shield, but as he's attacking, his eyes glow green, and you have to hit him with a fairly, you know, heavy weapon, not like a rapid fire weapon, when he does that, in order to stun him, and then you can hurt him. But basically the entire time you're basically dancing around this guy, because he's always charging at you, and you have to like do nothing else. So it's the way I've described it, it's like, you know, the game is a dance and you're doing all these different moves, and but when this guy shows up, you have to fight him in a very specific, predictable way that really takes you out of the experience, where you feel like you're not really the one playing the game. It's kind of like the game's, I don't know, playing you, or it just becomes repetitive and kind of tedious, frankly. And I think the developers were kind of aware of this, because at least I found that in the DLC, when there were Marauder encounters, they just felt a lot easier, or they just felt a lot more manageable. I'm not sure why or how, but that is definitely something that I got and vibed with. I was really a fan of the little arena. Sometimes you'll have a special or, you know, whatever challenge arena. And in this place, basically, what happens is you basically have a horde come at you, and if you, you know, when you get a special reward or whatever, and they usually have some returning mini bosses and stuff, and just fun to have this huge, you know, little arena mode where you can just like go crazy and based on everything you've learned, combining, you know, it really does get the impression that the developers of this game wanted you to use everything in your arsenal almost all at once. You know, you might use a grenade from the shotgun and then go into, you know, auto fire mode while you shoot a grenade, you know, from your side, and flame belch, and a combination of, you know, dashing. And then you also have, oh, of course, the power fist move, where you'll build up rage, and if you swing your hand, it'll create a shockwave, and that'll recharge over time. And of course, later you get the sword, which is a one-shot. So it's really interesting how this game introduces some new mechanics and honestly some new problems, and how the DLC kind of addresses it in an appropriate manner. I wasn't really a fan of the first DLC installment, but the second one was a lot better. Also, the sound effects when you pick up special items and you do certain, you know, action in this game. I mean, all the sound effects are big, meaty, and really powerful. Also, when you pick up the way you upgrade or unlock the alt firing modes for each weapon is that you'll find one of the many floating upgrade boxes throughout the level, and then you can choose any upgrade that you want to get. Again, I also, what I like about this game is they also have really cool designs, even for the mechs and things. There's these giant Doom mechs and, you know, Doom style things. And of course, your doppelganger in the DLC has its own kind of mech, and that was really, really cool. However, you never actually get to really see the mechs fight, or rather, you never get to control them. And I thought that was a huge Disappointment. I wanted to be able to like control the mech myself, but you only see them in cutscenes, which is a bummer, I guess. Again, the design of the demons and of Doomguy's, you know, stuff and the ancient civilizations. It's just all so, so very, very cool and very well done. I love it. But yeah, it's more or less very similar to Doom 2016 and, you know, most of the gameplay. Again, it's, you know, I can't, you know, badmouth them too much because at least they innovated. They tried something else and something new. And even though it wasn't the same kind of atmosphere and tone, it was still really, really good. And I really do love this game. Anyway, guys, not much else to say on the game. It's still a great sequel. It has its own little flaws and quirks, but it's still an absolutely almost must play. But yeah, I think that's it. See you guys later. Bye.